Steve McCabe, hello, you've just sat down.
Just sat down, good afternoon.
Just sat down has Steve and also Susan. Richard Langston will join us at some stage in Wellington after 4 o'clock. A lot of topics to talk about on the panel. Now, someone calls you Susan Baldacci, the queen of the velvet-coated yet saber-sharp segue. I thought that was a very nice description
very
of you.
That was very sweet. No one's ever called me that before. I've been called many things, but not the queen of the segue.
Yeah, queen of the segue.
Except for, you know, one of those segues you drive.
Well, you can't have a segue until you start. So what have we got? Oh, Richard, are you there? Are you in Wellington?
I am here, Jim. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Susan Baldacci talking about what the world's talking about.
The world is talking about a new campaign technique. This is an email, and I won't read all of it because it's fairly long, that's arrived in boxes of email boxes all over. Somebody claiming to be called Karen, saying I'm sick and tired of politics, and I voted for Obama, and that was all really great. But, you know, I'm not sure about you. I just kind of think Mitt Romney is a genuine person who really does love his family, and I'm conflicted about writing to this, but I've decided not to vote for Obama. Don't tell Dad or I'll never hear the end of it.
I got this email. I thought it was very sophisticated. You know, Karen loves Obama, so you think you're getting an email from someone called Karen who loves Barack Obama and how he won the debate this week, and she's so enthused again in the whole campaign and hope and change, and then her two best mates start saying, well, yeah, but did you really think I think he's phony as everybody else, and he's a fake. I've had a read, and so Karen has a rethink, and now she's decided that Mitt Romney's really a nice bloke. And it struck me as a particularly kind of insidious form of campaign advertising that probably will make an appearance in New Zealand at some stage.
Yeah, but does anybody besides you read emails that arrive in your inbox from people who you don't know?
No, I guess not.
I never read those. It's somebody I don't know, I usually delete it before I even open it.
I was supposed to believe that this Karen is her name, accidentally sent this email to somebody in New Zealand by mistake.
Well, I suppose she sent it all over America and it just a huge database and it just arrived in New Zealand. And it could have been from a supposed Mitt Romney supporter who in the end, you know, says he'll vote for Barack. So it doesn't really matter who it's from, but it just struck me as a new level of subtlety in political advertising.
Yeah, and I'm sure that they will continue. I can tell you, living in Denver, the last election, and it being a swing state, I cannot tell you how many times I got the robocalls from McCain and Obama themselves, you know, calling me to say, you know, I'm just calling you because daddy does. Like I believe that any of them are going to be calling me, but yeah, that, you know, that they are getting more sophisticated.
Not to labour the point, but I may have explained it clumsily. If you're a Barack Obama supporter, it appears to be someone supporting your choice, so you will read it, and then all of a sudden it turns around at the end of the email. That's the subtlety of it.
Mm. Yeah, but I still wouldn't read the whole thing. Right. But you're a good man for reading all the things that come into your email.
The things Jim does for this show, really.
I know, he
fantastic,
does.
He's a martyr.
On the basis it takes a lot of reading, that will probably discount it from the minds of many American voters.
That's right. Oh, yeah, there's no free offer in the first line. I'm out of here.
Okay.
Or coupon to clip. Interesting story. This is out of the London today. This flamboyant trader, he was nicknamed the Wizard of Oz. He's announced his retirement at the age of 41. $665 million he's worth, but he's decided he's going to get out. He's Sydney-born man, Greg Coffey. He's going to retire from Moore Capital Management. It's run by this American billionaire, Lewis Bacon. And he just says that, you know, like they all do, that after 20 years he's decided to leave the industry and focus on his family, which you can do with $665 million.
You know, as I went to see Mary Poppins last night, this delightful production of Mary Poppins in Auckland. Of course, she leaves when the wind changes, and I'm wondering if he's doing the same thing, because his returns over the last couple of years, this guy, weren't so flash, and I wonder if he's getting out while the going's good.
Well, he did average his annual average return to investors was 22%, so he wasn't doing too badly. Yes, it is a bit of a worry. Whenever anybody says they're doing this for their family, you always have to say, okay, what's the story behind the story?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, whether he's jumping the ship, for the Titanic, or if there's something else to it, who knows?
And what does his family make of it?
Well, they're
sitting home going,
they have $665 million. They don't have to worry about it.
I'd like golden handcuffs. Have you ever received a pair of golden handcuffs? That's when they offer you $250 million, Richard, to stay in your job.
Wow. That hasn't happened yet, Jim, but no. I'm waiting. I'm hoping.
Yeah,
I'm holding out for 300.
Yeah, he was his obsessional style of trading was stuff of legend. I mean, he would apparently fly his trading terminals to whatever hotel he was staying on holiday, assemble them, and trade through the night while his wife and children slept. And he demanded a cup of coffee to be delivered to his desk at the same time every day, even if he wasn't there.
He doesn't sound like a guy who's going to stop, does he?
No.
How do you turn that off?
So what's his retirement going to look like?
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if someone could evaluate his some contribution to the world, given that what did he do? He traded in money, so he made his money staying close to money and dealing with money. I wonder if that resulted, I won't say in the world being a better place, because it's a moral judgment, but did it result in anyone being fed or watered or something useful?
Because we've got world peace now. He's the man who made it possible.
And it only cost $660 million.
Yeah. I wonder what he made his money in, munitions or, you know.
What he invested in.
The Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz.
Well, they get burnt out, those people, don't they, those traders, because they live on their nerves and they're, you know, the deal, and they're kind of like addicts, junkies of a sort, money junkies.
It's terrible to hear.
Well, this is another investor we want to talk about. Remember Greg Smith? He was that Goldman Sachs and trader who resigned and wrote this letter, you know, saying that the bank's culture was toxic and, you know, there was just, you know, bereft of any kind of morality. Mm. Well, he's written a book, surprise, surprise, Why I Left Goldman Sachs. It's due out next week, so we're going to be hearing a lot of it. And he talks about how trainees were forced to attend sort of boot camps early in the morning and they were humiliated if they would get the lunch order wrong. And apparently the bosses would give really complicated lunch orders in effort to see that, because they were sort of testing them to say, you know, if you can't get the lunch order right, how are you going to get the trade right when I give you the details for a trade? So they would sort of test them with the lunch order.
But waiters can get the lunch orders right, and they don't make them.
No, they don't. Well, surprise, surprise, Goldman Sachs has sort of launched their own offensive, this publicity offensive, saying that they've investigated him, and they actually say that he's not the, you know, the holier-than-thou pure guy, that he'd been demanding $1 million, which was double his salary just before he left. And they were actually, he was on the brink of getting fired for his performance.
But then they would say
But then they would say that, so, you know, we'll
so
see.
So despite being the Marines of money traders, Goldman Sachs, from what you're saying, Susan, they went down the gurgler, didn't they?
I think they were given bailout money, but they've come back. Of course, they didn't go.
But these people are so. Oh, anyway,
when you say I'll stop going down the gurgler, a very harsh description. I tend to favour repositioning.
Repositioning, that's fair enough. rebranding. It's called
rebranding
with support and assistance, of course.
Yeah, instead of going out to the market, you go back to the taxpayer.
Yeah. That's right. Very ably put.
Well, I'm sure more details are going to come out. We're going to be hearing a lot about that book in the next week or two.
I have to say I'd like to read that one, Susan.
Yeah, it should be good. Should be good. Now, while we're talking about money, I don't know about Hugo Weaving's chances of ever making a lot of money on a Hollywood blockbuster. He's complained about his role, of which he probably earned thousands and thousands of dollars for 2 hours of work. He's complained about his role voicing Megatron from the Transformer movies, saying that they were meaningless and that he never actually read the script or met the director. Well, the director's fired back at him saying, "And you know, do you ever get sick of actors that make $15 million a picture or even $200,000 for voiceover work for a brisk 1 hour and 43 minutes to complete, and then they complain about their jobs? What about the people who had integrity and who got paid for a hard day's work? And if you didn't like that money, just donate it."
But what did anyone really expect? It's the Transformers. It's not Citizen Kane.
I know,
and he's got a
know.
Loud hailer. It's not Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Yeah, I think he knew what he was getting into, but it is a bit rich, isn't it, to be complaining about it after the fact and after collecting the paycheck.
There was a lot of nuance in those Transformer movies. I thought Megan Fox especially was going fine. But the thing is, they're right, though. I mean, why do you complain about doing a $200,000 voiceover?
An hour and 43 minutes of work for $200,000.
Yeah, keep your mouth shut, take the money, go back and do another one next week.
Think of the poor unemployed actors who would have loved to have that gig.
Yeah,
I've yet to have complained about a $200,000 voiceover. I'm looking forward to making the complaint.
Yes. Well, you and me both.
You know, Hugo Weaving may find himself one of the B actors, and we were talking about this yesterday. B actors, maybe even C, D, E, or F, or G actors, apparently on this list of celebrities' sperm donors for Sperm Donor Bank.
That's right.
Well, as it turns out, ITV's had to apologize today because the whole thing, which was on ITV's breakfast show, Fame Daddy website, was supposed to match up women with donors who were professional sportsmen, millionaires, that kind of thing. Hoax.
Hoax.
It's amazing, and this was on the Daily Mail newspaper website, which is where we saw it. So.
Oh, well, there you go, then. I mean, if it's on the Daily Mail, it must surely be
true. Well, ITV first, though, in fairness.
Yeah, ITV, whole new level, whole new echelon.
Yeah.
And just before we go, really quickly, apparently vampires know what they're doing. New research from Stanford University. Experiments were done on mice that showed if they were given new blood transfusions, old mice given blood transfusions from young mice, reversed some of the effects of brain aging, improved memory, improved learning, and they were, you know, springing their steps on that little wheel after getting new blood.
Work for Keith Richards. Okay.
Ah, there you go, Fountain of Youth, and it just happens to be red.
That's in The Guardian, I think, if you want to read more about what blood can do for you. Susan Baldacci, thank you very much. Steve McCabe, Richard Langston with us shortly.